For McCunn Specialty Firearms in Messina, this is Chris Parks, joined as always by Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer Grant Jelly with another edition of the Conservation Report here on KJAN. Good morning to you, Grant.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Well, we're trekking along now here into the spring season, and we started to get some more spring and actually just downright summer-like weather that's rolled in here, unfortunately, but kind of getting towards the tail end of some of those things that we think about in spring, turkey season winding up here this weekend, and we're going to be kind of getting more in towards that summer mode here not too far down the road.
Yeah, we are. It's like you said, we seem to have kind of skipped spring once again and went from freezing temps to upper 90s there for a week. And as you can tell by looking outside, that really caused our foliage to pretty much explode, and it's pretty much a full leaf out on a lot of things. In fact, I'm looking at some of our later leafing trees right now, and oaks are starting to really get their leaves, and walnuts are starting to bud out. So the things have really changed out there in the turkey woods. But yeah, tomorrow is our final day of the fourth season of spring turkey season here in Iowa. So just a little bit of time left for people to get out, and hopefully we finish strong on a good weather day. But it's been a pretty good season so far. I've heard a lot of success stories, and I've heard, you know, some people that have struggled and maybe not seen or heard the numbers of birds that they typically do. So we can just kind of keep our fingers crossed. Like always, when we talk about birds and bird hunting, it's all about that nesting season and birds going into the spring and having favorable weather conditions when they're both sitting on that nest, and then more importantly after that, the eggs actually hatch and they've got those young poults on the ground. That's really the critical stage for turkey production. So you'll probably, if you're out, you're going to notice that there's quite a few people that have hit the woods and are doing some mushroom hunting. So, you know, again, let's try and finish the season as safely as we can here, but hopefully we'll get some numbers before our next program, and we can talk about some of the areas of the state that were pretty successful. I do know that we, this was been several weeks ago already, we had harvested a turkey in every of the 99 counties in the state. So that's always good news to hear that everybody's seeing a little bit of success spread out across the state.
Yeah, it's certainly been a challenging season with the way the weather has gone. Just haven't had a ton of those great, great days to get out there. But hopefully folks have found a few here and in between. And like you said, maybe this weekend will provide a good, strong close to it. And we'll, like you said, keep our fingers crossed that the nesting season was all right as well, because I know there were some days in there that might have had an unfortunate impact on that too. But we'll know more about that, of course, down the road. As the weather turns, we do start to see some of that other activity that becomes a little bit more fun. You mentioned mushroom hunting. It's been kind of a late season for that just because it didn't warm up. And now the fishing season is starting to warm up a lot more as well. Usually we have, seems like, a little bit earlier leeway for when the bite starts to really pick up. But that's kind of happening now as the water started to warm a little bit.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, like you said, on a typical year, which this is anything but, we would see the water temperatures kind of gradually warming. And I'm afraid that with those 90-degree temps and the sunny, humid weather that we had here in the last week and a half, that the water temps are going to be rapidly increasing. And that's okay. However, it does present a bit of a problem for bank fishermen sometimes, because I'll use Lake Anita, for example. When the water temps start to get warmer, we see that aquatic vegetation start to really take off, and it kind of makes fishing a little bit challenging from the bank. So get out and try to enjoy your time on the water while you can still cast and not, you know, have to clean off your hook every time. But the fish are starting to bite. The crappie are spawning. They're starting to move into those more shallow areas to do their spawning, and bluegill are going to be spawning, if not already started. But I'm hearing some pretty good fishing reports for Lake Anita. Prairie Rose has been doing fairly well. The crappies are being caught from the fishing jetties there. And then Viking Lake down near Stanton has also been doing pretty well on crappies, and the bluegill are biting there as well, which is good to hear because that lake has been drawn down several, 2 or 3 years ago, and due to a leak in the dam, it's really been slow to refill. So the good news is that some of the rain events that we've had here recently are starting to bring that lake back up to normal pool, and that's really going to make for some good fishing in the next season or coming years, because we've got all that food and cover that is now available for the fish since the water level came up, and they can access those areas that were once dry but have now been filled with vegetation. So Viking Lake is a good one to try out, so don't overlook that one as well.
Yeah, lots of good resources around here. You'd mentioned as we got started that the boat ramp open and available there at Viking as well. That's always been a popular place for folks to go for camping and fishing alike. And, you know, a couple of those resources, even Prairie Rose, it hasn't been long now since that was fully kind of renovated as well. So some resources that have kind of been refurbished and are starting to thrive. And that's always a good time to get out there and enjoy it again.
It is, and you know, we've got a lot of county parks that also offer smaller fishing impoundments too. So, you know, don't overlook those. If you're, you know, new to the area or maybe new to fishing and don't exactly know where to go, go to the DNR's website and jump on the fishing atlas there, which is easy to access from your smartphone, and it'll show, you know, public fishing waters that are available. And then if they're a DNR-managed lake, it'll even show you the underwater contours and where brush piles or rock reefs may be located at, and you can kind of narrow down your search for good fishing habitat before you even hit the water. So make sure to use that resource as well.
Yeah, some great stuff there, and it's always, yeah, like you said, a great informational resource. While we're on the topic, I did want to mention real quick, The folks with the Southwest Iowa fishing team have really done a lot to grow that program here within the last few years. They've got a ton of kids that are involved with that now. And recently they embarked on a kind of a new journey. They are trying to figure out a way to get more kids involved because they have so many and it's hard to have enough boats to accommodate everybody. So they have started a kayak series as well with the help of some donations they've received. Duke Reynolds was one of the local businesses that helped them a lot out with the funds. They had their first event recently on Littlefield Lake in Exira and had 30 kids out there in kayaks doing some of that type of angling. So just to goes to show you the wide variety that everybody, you know, can take part in, and it's cool to see youth getting that opportunity too.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great program. And like you said, it's very popular among youth, and you know, you start to see dads even get out there, or, you know, friends of the family that have boats, they kind of jump in the boat and take the kids out and do some pre-fishing and things like that with them. So yeah, just about any weekend around the state, you'll find a place where there's the youth fishing tournaments going on, and these kids are darn good at what they do. So, and I wish that stuff would have been around when I was a kid, because that sounds like a blast.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a really cool program, and they get a ton of great support. They have some great prizes for them to kind of help celebrate it as well. And they're becoming some pretty good anglers out there. So keep an eye on that. They've got plenty more events coming up here with that particular team here around the area as well. One thing that we're going to touch on here that's kind of interesting that folks may have noticed maybe just around their properties, recent article talking about how there might be some winter burn damage for some of the conifer trees that are out there just because of the way that the weather pattern has gone. And, you know, it's kind of a battle, I guess, to keep some of those things alive and looking good.
It is. And, yeah, it's something that I kind of experienced firsthand. Some of my smaller spruce trees that I've planted in my lawn have really are looking pretty rough. They're brown and needles are falling out, so they're probably didn't make it through the winter. But you know, one of the things that we sometimes see is when we have a challenging year precipitation wise like we did last year, and basically the trees go into a drought and they enter the winter, and then of course it's dry and we didn't get a whole lot of moisture out of snowfall this year, so that kept us even further back on the precipitation chart. And they go into spring, and it can be really tough for them. And you're starting to see if you travel anywhere and you're looking at windbreaks or even conifers or evergreen trees in people's yards, you'll probably notice some of them that look like they're dying or have died, or maybe they're a little bit patchy in places. And you know, one of the ways that we can prevent that or help prevent that, it's not a guarantee, but if you mulch your trees and then make sure that, especially going into the fall months, right before winter, that you're watering those trees good, and that way they're going into the winter with plenty of water. They're not having to, you know, tap into the water that they might have in the actual tree itself so much. So they can use what you're providing for them and not get into their reserves, and that can kind of prolong their life and give them a better chance. So if you're seeing dead places in your windbreaks, it's probably maybe time to start thinking about replacing them with a different tree species that's a little bit more drought resistant or hardy for the winter. So just something to take note of.
Yeah. They mentioned here, if you do have some trees, you're seeing this, if the needles on the tree are dead, but the buds are still there and alive, then some new plant foliage may regrow and that may be replaced. But if you're noticing that both the buds and the needles look dead, then that's a situation where that tree is probably not going to recover. So you are going to have to remove it. And as you mentioned, they mentioned maybe deciduous trees are a little bit better option if you're planting a new windbreak, just because they grow faster and have fewer of those types of issues. So something certainly to think about for folks. Also, I guess along those lines, just a quick note, as we're airing this here this morning, the folks with the Cass County Master Gardeners have their plant sale going on here this morning, so you can stop out and check out that, an opportunity to stock up on some plants and be able to save yourself a little bit of money at the same time. It's always a great program. They have great opportunities and options there for you at that plant sale that's going on at the Cass County Community Center here early today. And one last thing I wanted to mention here on the program this morning, a recent note coming out here from the Iowa DNR talking about today as we air this, the World Migratory Bird Day is going on, and this is kind of just an awareness situation. Of course, a lot of the birds that we see here in the state of Iowa are considered neotropical migrants, so meaning they breed here in North America and then they spend their winters down south. So this is kind of that peak migratory season. And the theme of this year that they're kind of having people focus on is the dim the lights for the birds at night idea. A lot of the migration happens at night, and a lot of that light pollution that's out there can cause issues for them in kind of that navigation process. So they're telling folks that things you can do to help out are turning off non-essential nighttime lights or use motion timers. You can change the color of your lights as well from cool to warm colors. That's been shown to reduce disturbances in migration. And then diverting lights downward, using them shields so that you make sure that it's not heading up into the sky, those types of things. So kind of some of those things I guess you don't think about on the typical day-to-day life, but something that can certainly affect wildlife around you. And we deal with all kinds of those issues throughout the year, Grant.
Yeah, lots of new birds have been showing up here recently. So saw my first hummingbird a few days ago, and you know, the Baltimore Orioles and bluebirds and things like that are starting to show up more and more. So yeah, this is kind of a neat time of the year. This is what I enjoy most about spring, is just all the new vegetation and new wildlife that starts to call Iowa home for a while.
Yeah, a very cool time of year for sure. So if you want to know more about that effort, you can go to migratorybirdday.org and find out more information, how you can help out those feathered friends. Well, Grant, that'll do it for us here this time around. We appreciate you joining us here again on the program.
All right, thanks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, that's Grant Jelly, the Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer. I'm Chris Parks. Thanks to McCunn Specialty Firearms in Messina for another week of the Conservation Report.